hello and God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Herbert McLean, Herbie Mac. I'm the encourager. Today we're going to be talking about the Godhead, understanding the triunity of the Godhead. Stay tuned. This is a great lesson for you. Get your Bibles and your pen. We're about to dive deep into the Word of God. You're listening to Herbie Mac. I'm the encourager. Hallelujah. All right. The Lord our God is good, and He's greatly to be praised. Glory. All right. Well, I want to thank you for tuning in, for watching on our social media, also listening to this broadcast here on our podcast, which is featured everywhere where podcast is featured. I'm Herbert McLean, Herbie Mac. I'm the encourager. Now, today I want to talk about the Godhead because I think it's very important that we understand the triunity of God. It's very important to understand how God reveals Himself definitely in Holy Writ. The Bible is our compass. The Bible is God's revelation of Himself to mankind, and also how we ought to relate to God and to the world that He created, the earth that He created, and He gives us basic instructions on how to live this life and for the life to come. But one of the first things that God does in Scripture is He reveals who He is. So if we're going to get anything right, we need to get how we see God and how we understand God according to the Scriptures. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your holy and divine word, which is inerrant, infallible, rich, and awesome. Now speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the first thing is, let's define what I mean by the Godhead. Now, the word Godhead is found in the Bible at least once. At least once. So I would rather use the word Godhead, but of course in Christian theology, the main word that they use to describe the Godhead is the word Trinity. Now, Trinity is not a biblical word, but it is a concept that derives from the Bible. Now, me per se, I would rather use the word Godhead, because the word Godhead is biblical. But either way, as you're studying to understand what God has revealed about Himself in the Scripture, you can utilize either one of those words. It's just a preference for me that I use the word Godhead. So let's get a definition of what I mean. And like I said, the word Trinity is a theological term. It's not a biblical one. And it's used to describe the biblical teaching of the nature of God. Now, when I say the word nature of God, the technical term is the ontology of God. It deals with the nature of God. It deals with the being of God. And as we're going to see the personalities of God, or the persons and how it works, or how He reveals Himself. Now, what that word means is there is one God who exists in three co-equal persons who are one in essence, yet distinct in personality. Thus, God is three in one. Okay. Now, I want to explain it, because to unpack that statement, that's a very huge statement, that God is three in one. You know, one plus one plus one equals three. But as it reveals God in the scripture, one plus one plus one plus one equals one. So we have the same nature or the same essence shared in the Godhead, but the personalities are different, and how they reveal themselves in the outworking and the inner working of salvation. There is only one true God. In other words, this is a monotheistic lesson. It's teaching you that there is one God who reveals himself in the plan of salvation as three in one. And the Bible is going to help us understand this. But the first thing I want you to understand is that we are monotheistic. We believe that there is only one God. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, or the Lord our God, Yahweh is one." The Lord is one. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, the Bible says, "Besides me, there is no other." The way he revealed himself to Isaiah, he says, "Thus saith Yahweh, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God." In John chapter 17, verse 3, the Bible says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So the very first thing we need to understand, comprehend, and grasp in our concept of the knowledge of God is that God is one God. It is not three gods, but one God. Amen. Let's say, for instance, and I'm going to use this analogy just because it just came to me. I have a wife and I have a daughter. We are three different people, but we are one family. In other words, we are one. We are all human, but we're three different people. This is just how it is. There's only one human race. There's not two human races. There's not three human races. There's not four. There's only one. One human. And we express our humanity in different ways. We have different colors, different personality traits. And this is how God is. God is one God. There's only one God. But he reveals himself. He expresses himself. And he does things in three different forms or personalities, as we're pinning it here. Okay. But there is plurality in God. Even though there's one God, there's a plurality. And we're going to see this in the outworking of scripture. In the beginning, in the very beginning, we see this plurality come to the forefront. What do we see? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 27. "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We see here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, that God said, "Let us make man." Who is he referring to? He's speaking to the eternal Godhead, which consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to get more into that in this lesson. Look in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 16. The Bible says, "Draw near to me." Hear this. "From the beginning, I have not spoken in secret. In other words, God's not trying to hide the fact that he has a plurality within him, because from the very beginning, he said, let us make man. God, that is not a big secret. Okay, God wants us to understand this plurality within him, because once we understand the plurality of God, then we're going to understand how our salvation is working out. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. And so he says, from the very beginning, have I not spoken, or have I spoken in secret? He says, from the time it came to be, I have been there. He says, and now the Lord God has sent me and his spirit. Now in Isaiah chapter 48 verse 16, that's a messianic scripture that's referring to the coming of Jesus Christ and how Jesus revealed to us who the Father is. And then he also revealed to us what the Holy Spirit was coming to do. And so we need to understand this. In Isaiah chapter 63 verse 7 through 10, the Bible says, the Lord's mercies remember. He says, I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord. He says, I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel, that he has granted them according to his compassions, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he says, surely they are my people, children who would not deal falsely, and he became their savior. In all their afflictions he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore he turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them. We see even in the book of Isaiah that God is revealing himself in his plurality. Not only is he God the Father in heaven, he says, but I'm sending God the Son, and my Holy Spirit is going to attest to the work that I am doing in the earth. So we need to understand and recognize that the Father is God. The Father is recognized as God in the text. Notice in John chapter 6 verse 27, the Bible says, do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. Okay. Look, you cannot understand or apprehend God the Father if you reject God the Son. If you reject the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, whom he sent, the one who has the seal, then you can't be sealed by the promised Holy Spirit. Because he reveals himself in Holy Scripture that he has a plurality within himself. Even though there's one God, this God exists, amen, in three personalities that we see that is clear in the text. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, it says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit, for the obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. We see right here in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, we see all three personalities at work in the life of the believer. We see that God is working with all three of his plurality in the life of the believer. That means that you can't have one without the other, but you need to understand that each person of the Godhead has a particular task as it works in salvation, as it works in understanding the things of God. We see here, he says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. In other words, God the Father already knew you. Before you were even formed, shaped, or made, before you became a blip on the screen, God's foreknowledge, the Father already knew you in the sanctification of the Spirit, right? For the obedience to Jesus Christ. We see all three at work right here. Now, he also says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Why? Because you're going to need some grace and peace in order to understand the plurality of God, in order to understand that this is monotheistic. However, there is a plurality that we need to understand, because why? God revealed it in the book. He revealed it in the book. These are three co-equally eternal God. We're not talking about a non-God entity. Jesus is God. The Father is God. The Holy Spirit is God. They share in the divine nature and the essence of deity, and they have particular functions that they do in the working of salvation. Jesus Christ is recognized as God in the book. Notice here in John chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible says the Word became flesh. Come on now. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now we go back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. We see he said, let us make man. Who was there with God when he said let us? It was Jesus, and it was the very Spirit of God. And in John chapter 1 verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh. In other words, he tabernacled among us. We're now able to see him because he tabernacled. The Bible says the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us, and we seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten Son of the Father, and he is full of grace and he's full of truth. God bless you, Lila Teller. Thank you so much for watching. I see you, Yvonne and Monica, and everybody that's tuning in. I even see some of my great pastor's friends tuning in. Let's get back to the Word, because I feel God right here. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And in verse 14, the Word became flesh. He dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, John the Apostle say. In other words, the John the Apostle, he says, we handled him. Glory to God. We touched him. Come on now. He fed us. We seen him on the mountain of transfiguration, where he began to transform. And that dazzling, blinding light that's on the inside of Jesus began to shine on the outside. Peter got so comfortable in the presence of God, he said, we might as well just go ahead and build a tabernacle here and a tabernacle there and a tabernacle on this mountain. We don't need to go nowhere else. We'll just stay in the glory. Come on now. We'll just stay in the glory. Jesus says, no, we're not going to stay up here. We need to go down into the valley, because we got some work to do. Amen. And that's why God sent Jesus in the form of human flesh, so that we can see God work. Now let's continue on. In John chapter 1 verse 18, the Bible says, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Ah, my God, in the refulgence of his glory, there Jesus was in the beginning. And the Bible says that he humbled himself and he became a man, subjecting himself to live under the law. And he died a gruesome death. But the Bible says that he's the only one who seen him, who was encased in his glory. And the Bible says we beheld this glory in the Son. The Son revealed who the Father is. My God, you cannot have the Father if you don't embrace the Son. Because not only is the Father God, the Son is also God. And the way that sanctification and salvation works, glory to God, is, amen, you can't have one without the other. We also see that the Holy Spirit is recognized as God as well. Turn your attention to Acts chapter 5, and we're going to look here at verse 3-4. The Bible says, but Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. Ananias lied. Ananias and his wife, they lied. They conspired to try to trick the apostles, but it wasn't the apostles that they was trying to trick. They was trying to trick the Holy Spirit. And little did they know that the Holy Spirit himself is God. You cannot lie to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God. He knows everything. Peter says, my goodness, you got to be the most stupidest man in the world. When that property was unsold, it belonged to you. And even when you sold it, the money still belonged to you. But yet you want to contrive this thing up in your heart to try to deceive the Holy Spirit. Well, let me tell you something, baby. You can't deceive the Holy Spirit. You can receive him, but you can't deceive him. Come on now. He's God of very God. He's light of very light. So is the Son, and so is the Father. Now notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, do you not know that you are God's temple, that God's Spirit dwells in you? Not only is God the Father seated on high in majestic glory, and now that the Son has ascended, he's at his right hand, but aren't you glad that he sent us another helper? Aren't you glad that his Spirit dwells not only among us, but he dwells on the inside of us? My God. In other words, you can't go around him. You can't go under him. You can't go nowhere, because he lives inside of you. Definitely, if you receive the Son. As a matter of fact, can I just pause right here and get you to recognize that Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart, trying to work salvation in your life. And if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. The promised Holy Spirit will come into your life and will seal you until the day of judgment. Glory to God. I felt something move just then in the spirit. So we see here that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, as recognized in the book. Now, these three are distinct persons. That's what we got to understand. They are distinct persons. Okay, there's one God, one nature, one essence, but this God reveals himself in three distinctive persons. He wants us to be able to distinguish between the three, because all three has a specific working in salvation. Okay, so let's see this distinction. We see that the Father and the Son are distinct persons. Look in John chapter 5, verse 20. The Bible says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. Aren't you so glad that Jesus Christ came and he did what he did? He showed us what he showed us, because some 2,000 plus years later, we are still marveled at the work of Jesus Christ. We're still marveled at the fact that he came, he lived, he died, and he rose again. We marvel at the things that Jesus not only did, but that he's doing. Come on now. So we see also in John chapter 5, verse 32, the Bible says, there is another who bear witness about me. Mm-hmm. And I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. In other words, where you have two or three witnesses, there is an established truth. And we see even God is holding himself to that standard of two to three witnesses. And we're going to see this. Let's go down to John chapter 5, verse 37. The Bible says, and the Father who sent me has himself bore witness about me. His voice you have heard, his form you have never seen. So we see that the Father, and he's making reference here to when God the Father revealed himself to John the Baptist, and we're going to get into that story. I'll give you the scripture reference to where he revealed himself, and then the Father began to speak, and then they seen the dove fall on him. descend on him. We see all three persons there testifying to the deity of all three distinct persons, testifying to the work and confirming that heaven has come to earth through the person of Jesus Christ and the preceding Holy Spirit. Now we see that the Father and the Son are distinct from the Spirit as well. Notice in John chapter 14, verse 16, the Bible says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." Let me stop right here for all the people that think that somehow you can lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation because you're not the one that worked it up anyway. It was God the Son that worked it up, hallelujah, that sent you his promised Holy Spirit, and he says, "I'm going to send you another helper, and he's going to be with you forever. I don't know how long your forever is, but my forever is forever, and I have the Holy Spirit." I wish I had somebody to get prophetic right now and say that I have the Holy Spirit, and he lives inside of me. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. He's my best helper, my best friend. Glory to God. I feel a preach going on, but I'm trying to teach you something here. He says, "Look, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." John chapter 15, verse 26, it says, "But when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." It's interesting that God draws you to himself by the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you by Jesus. Glory to God. God the Father says, "I love you." God the Father says, "I'm going to work a plan of salvation for you." He says, "But you don't know me because you never seen me." He says, "But I sent my Son Jesus to be an example," glory to God, "to be a light into the world so that you would be able to understand my character, so you'll be able to understand my mercy, so you'll be able to get in contact with my grace and my truth." He says, "Jesus is my representative on earth." He says, "That's why I had to embody myself in the flesh, and I had to come down and work this salvation for you so that you would be able to see with your eyes and taste the goodness of God in the face of Jesus Christ." He says, "The Holy Spirit, he's gonna testify about me." Amen. Every time I think of the goodness of Jesus, something on the inside of me begins to roll over. And now that I can articulate what that something is God on the inside of me. God is moving on the inside. Come on now. Now let's move on. Now we see that the Spirit of God is distinct from the Father and the Son. Amen. We see that already in the book. All right. Now we need to see how these three are unified. We see how they are a distinct person, but now let's go in how they are unified into one and in the working of salvation. The Bible says here in Matthew, glory to God, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, the Bible says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what the name of the Father is, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to tell you their name. I'm going to tell you their name. Their name is Jesus Christ. I'm going to let that soak in. Because their name is not Father, their name is not Son, and their name is not Holy Spirit. And there's not three different names, but there's only one name given unto us. There's only one name by which we may be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ, Yahshua the Messiah. Glory to God. That's the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Do you know his name? I just told you his name. Okay, let's go here in Matthew chapter 3, verse 12 through 16. The Bible says, "His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And now we're getting into the baptism of Jesus. Notice he says, then John came from Galilee to Jordan to John. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? But Jesus answered him and said, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Now I can get into that. Let me put a plug in, amen, to my message entitled Awaking to Righteousness. I deal with the imputation of righteousness and the righteousness that Christ has come and wrought and bought for us and that we share in by virtue of our faith in him. So I want to encourage you to go to my website at ApostleHerbieMack.com and look up my message, Awaken to Righteousness, or you can type it in right here on Facebook and listen to it, Awaken to Righteousness. I don't want to stop here on this word because it's such a huge topic, but I love the righteousness of God that we take part in by virtue of our faith in Christ. But here Jesus is telling John, look, go ahead, bro, baptize me so that we can fulfill all of righteousness. Then John consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens was open to him, and he saw. Come on now. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. Turn your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, and we're done. The Bible says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Do you see how all three are unified in the working of salvation? All three are unified in the working of sanctification. All three are unified in the communication of the Godhead to us humankind. And it's about time that we recognize what the Bible is saying about the triunity of the Godhead. We don't have three different gods. We have one God who reveals himself in three distinct persons who are unified on every iota of the universe. One does not operate without the other or without consent. They are in full fellowship. They know each other in and out. And we now have the opportunity to take part in this Godhead. Jesus says, I pray that they become one, just as we are one. See, that's why it's important to understand the Godhead, so that you would know your place, that you are the mystical body of Christ, and you've been sealed by his promised Holy Spirit. Glory to God. If you don't know this good God, you need to get to know him today. It's real simple. Bible says you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you will be saved. It's just that simple. Well, for more information about what I do and how I do it, you can again go to my website at www.apostleherbiemack.com for more information. Also, you can catch us on our podcast everywhere where podcasts are: Apple, Google, Spotify. We're there. Just type in Herbie Mack Podcast and I'll come up. Oh, hallelujah. Hasn't this been a great message? I really love this stuff. But we're going to continue on into these deep things, into these theological concepts, so that you will be renewed in the spirit of your mind and that you would know how to answer those who may have questions. Well, God bless you. I'm Herbert McLean, Herbie Mack. Until next time, may this Jesus keep you in perfect peace. God bless you. Bye for now.